What is the gospel according to you? That you are a witness for Christ and that people are reading you. And in another place, Paul said that you are an epistle. You are an epistle. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Do we begin to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some other, epistles of commendation to you? Of letters of commendation from you? No. You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all.
Greetings, radio friends. Welcome to this edition of the Anchored in Jesus radio program. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and pastor here at Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of What We Do in Life Echoes in Eternity. Before we begin today's message, we've been offering a book that I wrote, Touched by the Breath of God. And this book is an apologetic for the Bible. It answers the questions of the critics, the scoffers, and the scorners, the mockers who are attacking the Bible. This book will help you to be able to stand up and defend many attacks that are coming against the Word of God. Now, let us go to the conclusion of What We Do in Life Echoes in Eternity.
But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And we know that Jesus was talking to the disciples, but I believe that as we give a secondary application to this passage, that this is something that comes to all of us, that we are to be witnesses for Jesus Christ, that you are to be an example and a light for Christ. And so I found this poem, and this poem is The Gospel According to You. If you're a witness, right? Jesus already got five witnesses. But you know, a lot of people are not going to see those other witnesses. They're not going to see John the Baptist. They're not going to see his miracles. They're not going to see the Father. They're not going to see the Word. And sometimes the only witness that somebody else is going to see is you. You are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the deeds that you do, by the words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithless or true. Hey, 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 hey! What is the gospel according to you? What is the gospel according to you? That you are a witness for Christ and that people are reading you. And in another place, Paul said that you are an epistle. You are an epistle. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Do we begin to commend ourselves, or need we, as some other, epistles of commendation to you, of letters of commendation from you? No, you are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. You see, back in Paul's day, there were guys that walked around with letters, and if they wanted to verify themselves, that they would have a letter from somebody say, well, you know, this was so-and-so. You know, he was with me for a while, and here goes the letter that I have that he wrote, you know, for me. And so they would walk around with these letters and kind of in a braggadocious way show others the letters that they had. And Paul said, look, he said, I don't have any letters. He said, I don't have any letters. But you know what? These people that I've been working with, these people that I've been witnessing to, these people that I've been sharing the gospel with, these individuals that I've been discipling, they are my epistles. to be read of all people. Are you an epistle? What type of message are you sending for people to read? As a member of this church, God has called me to be the pastor. I'm trying to live right. I'm trying to keep a good testimony. But you know what? As a member of this church, you are an epistle of Pastor Glaze. Right? You are my epistles. Let me make this thing real, right? There was a deacon. And you know, I thank God for the deacons at Bethany. Man, we have some, you know, now I'm going to say this. I've been pastor of churches, and I talk to a lot of pastors, and they tell me about the deacons. Man, I thank God for the deacons here at Bethany Baptist Church. You know, we have some powerful deacons at Bethany Baptist Church. You know, every month, and I know they don't want me to say this, but every month, and we got some powerful deacons too. So you know, I don't want to slight them. I don't want to slight them. We got some powerful deacons. But every month, these brothers take up an offering. Every month, they take up an offering for the benevolent fund. And so, to any benevolent needs that people come to the church with, come directly from the pocket of the deacons, because that's where their heart is. That you know, and I thank God for that. And so I said that to say this, that there was a deacon here at Bethany, and I got a call from a pastor in Ohio, and he asked me to come preach his revival. And he was having a revival. He said, man, I want you to come preach my revival. And so I said, sure, you know, I'll go preach. And so I went up there, you know, and I was doing a revival. And in the midst of us talking and fellowshipping, he said, you know why I asked you to come? And I said, well, no, I'm not sure. He said, I met one of the deacons at your church. And I was so impressed with this deacon. He said that, I said, I got to have his pastor come to my revival. Wow. My goodness. You are my epistles. Again, I'm not God. I'm not going to, as Paul said, you know, I don't want anybody, you know, to put me up on a better pedestal. I'm just saying I'm the pastor. And as I teach and as I preach, you know, hopefully that you are receiving the word of God. Hopefully the Spirit of God is working in your life and making a difference. And so that as you go out, that I can say, look at so-and-so, look at so-and-so. They are an epistle to be read of all people. Are you an epistle of Jesus Christ? What is the gospel according to you? That when people look at you, what do they see? You see, we are all supposed to be witnesses. Jesus had five witnesses. He had five witnesses. And he's just looking for one more. Amen. And that's you. And so he's already called you to be a witness. Watch this now. Don't miss this. You are already a witness. You are already on the witness stand. And so my question is, on the next slide, how effective is your witness? How effective is your witness? You see, in order for a person to be a good witness in the court system, there's a lot of things. You know, I was reading what does it take to be an effective witness, and there was like one place had like 25 things, you know, to be an effective witness on the stand. But let me boil it down to just two, right? Let me boil it down to two. And one is the ability to communicate. That if you can't communicate, you're not going to be a good witness. Right? If you're up there babbling and you're confused and you don't know which came first, or you're not a good witness. All right? And then the second thing is that you got to be believable, right? I mean, if you're up there on the witness stand and nobody's drinking the Kool-Aid that you're pouring, then you're not a good witness, right? And so you got to have this ability to communicate. So can you clearly communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ and articulate the person of Christ? You know, that's what Jesus was saying. That what I can do it. John the Baptist did it. My works do it. The Father does it, and the Scriptures do it. So now we're asking you: can you clearly articulate the gospel of Christ and the person of Christ? You know, I wrote a book, and again, I'm not here to sell books just to get information out. I wrote a book. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. And in that book, I start in eternity past, and I go all the way to eternity future, and every step along the way, I tell you who Jesus is, who Jesus was in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord, the typology, the prophecies of him. We go through the New Testament, talk about his life, and then all the things pertaining to his life, and then finally with his death, burial, and resurrection. Then we talk about his ascension back to heaven, and then we talk about what he'll be doing for all eternity. That's the person of Christ. Everybody ought to know the title of the book. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. We used to sing that song, right? Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. As a child of God, you ought to know the gospel, right? As you are able to be a witness, you ought to know the gospel. Everybody, and I encourage everybody, or to put it another way, everybody, to write your testimony out. And your testimony needs to include three elements: what your life was before, like before Christ, how you accepted Christ, whoever led you to Christ, and how your life has changed since Christ. You ought to be able to articulate that. And somebody say, well, you know, I don't have that kind of testimony. So, you know, I talk about the protected testimony, right? And those are the people that grew up in the church and came to Christ at an early age, and they didn't, like many of us, didn't go out into the world, and they don't have that story of drinking and smoking and all that other stuff, right? And I say, praise God that you didn't have to go through all that. Praise God that you didn't have to go through all that. And so I say, you still got a testimony. You can give your testimony as to the keeping power of God, how that God kept you and led you to a place while you were in the house of God to him, and what that has meant in your life and how that has made your life effective. That everybody ought to have a testimony as a witness for Christ. You ought to be able to communicate that. And then you ought to know about the person of Jesus Christ. There's no excuse for us not to know about the person of Jesus Christ, so that when somebody comes and they tell us, man, Jesus was a good man, Jesus was a good teacher, Jesus was a prophet, that Jesus was a son of God, that we can say, no, 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 no. Jesus is not only God the Son of God, but he's God the Son. And so we ought to know the person of Christ to be an effective witness, right? I'm gonna say it again. Jesus witnessed for himself. John the Baptist witnessed for him. The works witnessed for him. The Father witnessed for him. And the Scriptures witnessed for him. Are you witnessing for him? How can you be an effective witness? You gotta be believable. Y'all like Acts 4:13, that when they looked at the disciples, you know what it says? That they looked at their life and they know that they had been with Jesus. That they were in his presence, and they knew that he was with Jesus. So they were believable, that when people looked at them, they were believable. And if you don't have a testimony, right? Now, I've given this illustration before, but this is a powerful illustration, so yeah, I want to give it again, right? There was a lady that was driving down the street, and the police started chasing her. And so she pulled over, and the policeman came up to you, and to this lady, and he said, ma'am, he said, I believe that this car is stolen. And she said, no, this car is not stolen, that, you know, this is my car. And she showed the registration and all the other stuff. And he said to her, I thought it was stolen because you had a sign, a bumper sticker that said, honk if you love Jesus. And when somebody pulled you off back a couple blocks ago, you gave them the middle finger. Is your testimony believable? Right? When people look at your life and they see, you know, that you are got all kind of mess going on in your life. Right? You got all kind of junk in your life. And then you're going to try to tell somebody about Jesus. Well, you know what I would say? It's not working for you. You know, why should I want that when it's not working for you? And so, you know, we got to live this thing, saints, that we have to realize that if we're going to be a witness for Christ, that our life has to back it up. I can't remember who said it. Some of y'all probably, and you can probably Google it while I'm preaching. It's just, it slips me right now. But one of the people of the old times, they said this, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. And use words if necessary. Preach the gospel. Let that sink in. Let that ruminate. Preach the gospel. And use words if necessary. What does that mean? That means your life should be a living witness for Jesus Christ. That we are the body of Christ. And that in Revelation, it talks about that we are bride. Whoo, watch this. Adorned from heaven. Beautiful. Dressed in white. You know, all type of the latest accessories. And the bride, we are the bride of Christ, and we step out to meet our groom, right? So there was a guy. He was getting ready to get married. We are the bride of Christ, right? He was getting ready to get married. He was down front, and the people were there, and all of a sudden the doors opened, and a lady came in, and her dress was all torn and dirty. She was bruised and bloody, and somebody looked and they said, "Who is that?" And he said, "That's my bride. She's been fighting again." Now I know that don't happen at Bethany. That Bethany is this pure bride, dressed in white, right? Coming down the aisle with the white runner coming down, the flower girl throwing the flowers, right? Would to God that we be that witness for Christ, not only individual, but that we would be that witness for Christ as his body, and that we would be believable, that we would have a message, and that our message would be believable. How effective is your witness? Are you able to communicate? And are you believable? And so, if you are a witness for God, let me tell you about God's witness protection program. God's witness protection program. When you act as a witness, and sometimes it can be a dangerous activity, especially when there are people who don't want you to talk. My. Are we living in a day when people don't want us to talk? Are we living in a day when people don't want to hear the gospel, right? Witness protection programs exist to ensure witness safety and to protect them from those who would harm them for the testimony they give. God's witness protection program is found in Matthew 28 and verse 20, where Jesus says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." That's God's protection program, is the fact that Jesus is going to be with you. That if you will be a witness for him, that you have the assurance that he will go with you. Now, sometimes, as a witness, it don't always work out the best. Let me show you this. The next slide. This word witness, and I'm getting ready to close. This word witness is from the Greek word martyres. Anybody know what English word we get from that? You're looking at the screen, so you know, right? Martyr. So what was Jesus saying? You shall be martyrs. That sometimes in this life, to be a witness means that you give it all. You know, choir sang this morning about going all the way, right? There's sometimes that you're called to give it all, and that you got to put your agenda on the back burner. That you got to put your feelings on the back burner. You got to put your thoughts on the back burner, because Christ is the one that we are witnessing for. And he has called us to give it all. He has called us as witnesses to be willing to give it all. Now, you know, one thing, and like I said, I'm getting ready to close, but you know, one thing I realized as a pastor, and I'm just going to be honest with you, right? When you say stuff like this, it's a lot of people sitting out there saying, yeah, okay, Pastor Glaze, you know, yeah, you know, that's, I can't buy that part of it, right? I can't buy that part. So this is all I'm saying, is that if you set the bar low, I mean, if I just come in and talk about, you know, you're going to get a little opposition, you know, in your family because there's people that don't want to hear what you got to say, you know, and we just keep it on that level. But, you know, I mean, as we move ahead and as, you know, we progress, you know, things are going to get worse and worse for the body of Christ. Things are going to get worse and worse for the people of God. Just look around the world at our brothers and sisters that are being persecuted and some of them even being killed. They know what it means to live out Acts 1:8. And you shall be martyrs, witnesses for me. So let's set the bar high. You know, don't just say, well, you know, Pastor Glaze, you know, that's for somebody else. No, let's set the bar high. And then that way we'll be ready for anything that will come our way. And we'll be willing to stand as a witness for Jesus Christ. As I close, in 320 AD, there were a group of soldiers in the Roman army, and they had committed themselves to Jesus Christ. And they were told by their commander that you either denounce Christ or you're going to die. And to a man, all 40 of them said this, 40 martyrs for Christ. 40 martyrs for Christ. And so it was in the dead of winter, and they made them strip off all their clothes and made them go stand on a icy lake. And they stood on this icy lake. And the whole time they stood on the icy lake, they said, 40 martyrs for Christ. 40 martyrs for Christ. 40 martyrs for Christ. And one by one they began to drop and fall through the ice. Until there were 39 that had died and dropped through the ice. And the 40th guy figured that he didn't want to go through with it. And so he came and he said, I'll denounce Christ. And he came and they spared his life. But there was another soldier who had accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And when he saw that, he took off all of his clothes. He went and stood on the lake and he said, 40 martyrs for Christ. 40 martyrs for Christ. And he fell through. I'm just going to close with this. Can I get a witness?
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Join us next time for the first half of The Mountain of Intimacy with God. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Can I Get a Witness? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org. and request the message, Can I Get a Witness? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request, Can I Get a Witness? Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view or download more than 400 teachings that are available there. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It is through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, I would like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.